Let's rise to receive the greetings of the Lord. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who created heaven and earth. Grace, mercy and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Let's praise the name of the Lord with singing from Psalm 99, the verses 1, 2 and 3.
Thank you.
We now will confess our Catholic undoubted Christian faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed by singing hymn 1. Unite in prayer. Lord, God in heaven, we thank you that we can be together in thy house here for the second time, where we may rejoice in thy love for us sinners. We could confess that our Lord Jesus Christ came to suffer, to die. He descended into hell where he was forsaken by thee so that he would never more be forsaken by thee. And then he rose, descended into heaven, where today he is seated at thy right hand to intercede for us, but also where thou hast given him all authority in heaven and on earth. And Father, that's an enormous comfort for us to know that from heaven our Lord Jesus Christ reigns. He was the one, Father, of whom we read in the last book of the Bible, was allowed to open the seals of the scroll so that thy plan with this world could continue. And Father, when the seals are opened, we read about terrible things, and when we look around today in the world, then we see the reality of that. Wars, rumors of wars, and so many other things. Sickness, Ebola. Father, it's a world full of turmoil when the plagues of Revelation become true in this world. But we know that throughout it, thou art busy to fulfill thy plan, so that our Lord Jesus Christ may come and return on the clouds of heaven. So we pray thee, Father, that we may be ready. That we may live our lives in such a way that indeed we can meet our Savior any time, even if it will be today. At the same time, Father, we pray thee for the gospel that goes out into this world, so that many may hear it and come to know the only true Savior, Jesus Christ. And then, Father, we also think of those who are captivated by false religions, Muslims, by the Islam. Als in Irak, Vader, when we see these terrible things happening, beheadings. Vader, grant that it's us, there is not a feeling of revenge, but that we may pray also for these people, that if it is thy will, their eyes might be opened, and that they may see that they are following false religions, and may come to thee. We pray that for so many all over this world. We pray that also, Father, for those who have walked away from thee, children of thine, sometimes baptized here in the church, having made profession of faith, that they too, Father, may come back. So many parents who grieve about children that left the church, let today's grace not run out on them. So, Father, we bring it all before thee, as we are here together as thy children, worshipping thee. And Father, then this afternoon we may focus on the holiness of thy name. And that we also to live as children of holy God. Lord, help us to understand thy word. And grant that it indeed may be a fruit in our lives, so that because more and more a desire to break with sin and to live that new life, that thou wilt work in us by the power of thy Spirit. Let that be the fruit also of this afternoon's preaching. Help us so to focus on thee in all that we do, in our worshipping of thee, in the psalms we sing, in the offerings of thanks we may later on give in this worship service. Help us, Father, and be near to us, both in speaking and listening. Keep sin away from us, and dwell with thy Spirit in our midst. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Then you receive opportunity to give to the Lord your gift of thankfulness. Thereafter we'll sing from him, and that will be different. I thought you would use in the new book of praise, but you use the old book of praise. So it is hymn 4, verse 1, 2, 3, and 4. Hymn 4, verse 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Thank you.
afternoon we will open God's Word in the prophecies of Isaiah and read from those prophecies chapter 6. And in response to the reading of God's Word, we'll sing from Psalm 25, verse 2. And since that is a prayer, we will sing that standing. So first we'll read God's Word from the prophecies of Isaiah, chapter 6 in its entirety. We read the Word of God as follows. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on his throne high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim, each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, Who is me? Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, Behold, this has touched your lips, your iniquity is taken away. Your sin is purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then he said, Here I am, send me. And he said, Go and tell this people, Keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull, and their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return and be healed. Then I said, Lord, how long? And he answered, Until the cities are laid waste, and without inhabitants. The houses are without men. The land is utterly desolate. The Lord has removed men far away, and the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land. But yet a tenth will be in it, and will return, and before consuming, as a terebinth tree or as an oak, whose stump remains when it is cut down. So the holy seed shall be its stump. So far the reading from Scripture. We'll now sing Psalm 25, verse 2. The word of God to you about the first petition, Hallowed be thy name, and we'll look at what the church has confessed about this petition in Lord's Day 47 of the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 47 on page 537 of your book of praise. But the question is put, what is the first petition? And the answer is, Hallowed be thy name, that is, God is first of all that he may rightly know thee. sanctify, glorify, and praise thee in all thy works. In it shine forth thy almighty power, wisdom, goodness, righteousness, mercy, and truth. Grant us also that we may so direct our whole life, our thoughts, words, and actions, that thy name is not blasphemed because of us, but always honored and praised. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, from Lesson 46 we could learn what great a miracle it is that we miserable creatures may address the Almighty God as our Father. It's a miracle indeed, because we are sinful children of God, and yet we may draw near to God in heaven and say, Father! And it's only possible because of the blood of Jesus Christ, who died on the cross to clear for us the way to God the Father. It's because of his precious blood that we may enter the heavenly sanctuary full of confidence, so assured that God will hear our prayer without any doubt. Even more, as it says later on in the Catechism, that I feel it in my heart that I desire this of him. That's a great thing, a great comfort. And yet, brothers and sisters, at times it can still happen that we have prayed and inwardly there is still not that peace that God will give us. We brought all our concerns before the throne of God's heavenly throne. We've cried out our hearts about the problems at work, maybe in the family, struggles in personal life, concerns regarding children, whatever. We have brought it all before the Father, laid it in Father's hands. And somehow, inwardly, we don't feel that rest, that peace. How come? Now, you will understand, in cases where this happens, where you still feel, or have felt, or still feel at this very moment like that, you will understand that this afternoon I cannot say what exactly went wrong. It might be a result of various reasons. But one of the reasons could be that we focus too little on God's power, God's grace, and God's Holy Spirit, by which he will surely fulfill all that we have asked of him, without any doubt. God's grace, we read in Scripture, is always sufficient to carry us. Maybe you think too little of that. Sometimes God will even make his power perfect throughout our weaknesses, so that he doesn't take always the trouble away. But he says, I will make my power perfect through your weakness. God in his unsearchable wisdom may go ways different than we would like to see it. And because of it, even though we have prayed about a certain thing, we may still feel restless. But also then, God's grace is there to sustain us. Don't doubt that. Thankfully, the surety of God's promises does not depend on our fickle feelings, but on the God who spoke and it was done. That's the mighty God who said, my promises are true. So that's one of the things by which, because of it, you might still feel restless, that you think too little of the Almighty God. He is the Almighty One. He can do it, and he will do it. Yet, brothers and sisters, there's another danger. There can also be the danger that our prayer revolves too much around our personal needs, our own circle of people. Yet Lord Jesus is teaching us, when he taught his disciples to pray, when you pray, he says, pray as follows, and then first of all pray, there's a certain order in the Lord's Prayer, whereby the Lord on purpose said, when you pray, first say, hallowed be thy name. It's after all your focus on the fact why the Lord Jesus did that. So I preach you the word of God about the first petition, hallowed be thy name. And then we'll look at two aspects regarding this petition. First of all, on the holiness of God's name, and secondly, on the importance of this holiness for our life as children of Holy God. So first we'll deal with the holiness of God. I mentioned already the comfort, the riches that we may address God as Father, a name which assures us of God's fatherly love and care. And it's a great thing that we may start our prayer, Father who art in heaven. That brings you close to God. But then straightway follows, hallowed be thy name. And that's a petition which well makes us aware of the holiness of God. For although God is our Father, don't forget, he is still holy God. Now when you think about it for a moment, you may wonder, do those two not come in conflict with each other? When I say Father, I feel very close to God. But when I say holy God, and I look at my own unholy life, then somehow there is some distance. And even Isaiah felt that. And that's why on purpose I chose that chapter Isaiah 6 this afternoon. Let's have a look at that chapter where Isaiah in a vision sees the Lord upon his throne, high and lifted up as the train of his robe filled the temple. And surrounding the Lord he sees seraphim, angels full of glory, who call to one another, holy, 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 the Lord of hosts, the whole earth is full of his glory. Praising the Lord this way, these seraphim draw attention to one of God's distinct characteristics, namely that God is holy. Now with respect to the subject we are dealing with, that there sometimes is a clash between Father and God's holiness, Isaiah felt it as well. Because when we read it, verse 5 of Isaiah 6, so I said, woe is me, for I'm undone. Because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Astonished by God's glory, Isaiah realizes his own unholiness. Does that mean, brothers and sisters, that God's holiness creates distance, as I mentioned it before? You could conclude that also from other parts of Scripture. Think of the time that Moses was called by the Lord to be sent to Egypt, and sees that a burning bush, and then Moses wants to come closer, and then God says to Moses, do not draw near to this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you stand is holy. So something similar as what we meet here in Isaiah 6. God's holiness. Of course we should stand in awe of it. But should it make us scared of God? When God in his holiness would look at our unholiness? Thinking and praying the first petition, Father, hallowed be thy name. Is it almost dangerous as sinful children of God to take this petition on our lips? Thankfully not, brothers and sisters. Definitely not. For though it is true that God as holy God is exalted far above the unholiness of this present world, that doesn't mean that God doesn't want anything to do with us sinful creatures. On the contrary, though God is holy, he still wants to confide in those who love him. Despite all the unholiness that still is in our life. Now, is that possible? How can holy God still have communion with unholy children? That's only possible because God will cover us with the holiness of Christ. And if you then read answer 60 of the heart of that catechism, that's one of the most wonderful answers of the catechism, I think. Where it says there that God will cover us with the righteousness, satisfaction and holiness of Christ. And then that answer continues that God sees us as we have had never had nor committed any sin, as if we had done what Christ did for us. So God indeed looks at us with all the sins and all the failures. He says, as if you had never had nor committed any sin. That's how God covers us with the holiness of Christ. And that's why there is communion possible between holy God and us unholy children. It doesn't excuse the unholiness, but it gives comfort as God gave comfort also to Isaiah. For if you continue in Isaiah, then it says, then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hands a live coal which he had taken with stones from the altar. And then with that live, with that coal, he touches Isaiah's lip, and then he said, behold, this has touched your lips, your iniquity is taken away, your sins are purged. Fire, taken from the altar, cleansed Isaiah from his unholiness, and that made him able to take up the task as a prophet of God. An unholy prophet in the service of holy God, because God had cleansed him, and that points to the cleansing of Christ. So Isaiah 6 not only points us to God's holiness, brothers and sisters, Isaiah 6 also points us to God's goodness, God's mercy, which also sounds through this chapter, especially when you continue reading this chapter and turn to verse 9. For what had Isaiah to do as a prophet? We read there a very remarkable mandate. This is the mandate, just imagine, that as a minister you would receive this mandate. You are going to be minister in Rockingham, and I tell you, this is what you have to say to the people. Keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of these people dull, and their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return and be healed. Wouldn't you like that? But I make you a prophet that will not happen. How come? Israel lived in sin. And the first part of Isaiah was basically a part that said, if you don't repent, then you will go into exile. Then you will no longer hear the good news, you will no longer understand the good news, your heart will become dull. That was the message he had to say. And he said, what's the mercy in that? If that is what Isaiah had to preach to the people, what can be the mercy, the goodness of God in this message giving his prophet this mandate? Now let me try to make that clear as an example. And think of a father who says to his stubborn child, whom he has already warned many times, that he keeps on living his wild life, not willing to live in accordance with the rules of the house. In the end, his father says to that son, if that is what you want, leave home. If you don't want to obey, go away, have it your way. Does the father really mean that? No. He says that with a crying heart. It's a last appeal on that son. That's not what you want, son. Leave home. See, that's what God says. When he says, make the heart of these people dull. That's not what God wants. But by that harsh message, God makes a last appeal on Israel so that it doesn't want, he doesn't want it to go into exile. God doesn't want the death of the sinner, it says in Jeremiah. But that he may turn to him and live. And so that's also Isaiah's task, that with this message he brings a last appeal on God's people. Please return. See what you are doing. That's not what God wants. So that's how Isaiah is commissioned still to preach God's mercy as well, for God did not write Israel off. You read it also in the end. Despite all the sins, and despite that in the end, yes, they will go into exile, we know that. But a tense, a remnant. Often through the prophecies of Isaiah, you hear that word remnant. And that means God doesn't write his people off. He's still there for those who love him and want to be near to him, because God wants to be near to his people. And they see it. God's holiness, brothers and sisters, it can indeed be a consuming fire. It destroyed Pharaoh and all his host in the Red Sea. But then we read also the form for the baptism, but his people Israel went through the sea on dry ground. Dry ground. Of its baptism is a sign. That's us. We are baptized here. Not because we are any better, but because of God's love. And so, that's God's holiness. On the one hand, a consuming fire. But in his holiness, he still seeks his people. Because he's loved them. That's why he sent his son. And so, that's why we started prayer. Father! And so, there is no conflict. Because this is my father, who in Christ became my Father. And therefore, as an unholy person, I can still draw near to holy God, not because of myself, but because of Christ. That's how we may take the name of holy God on our lips, because of the atoning sacrifice of Christ. And so God will cover us with the holiness of Christ. We don't have to be frightened of holy God. So that holiness, brothers and sisters, and that's what I want to make clear in this first point, doesn't take anything away of the intimacy that is with God being our Father. In this context, I also think of the continuation of the prophecies of Isaiah. We turn for a moment to chapter 40. Then that's basically the second part of the prophecies of Isaiah, where Isaiah, through the Spirit, sees the people going into exile and still thinking that God has forgotten them, and there they still serve the idols. But then, who is God? He says that in verse 25, to whom then will you liken me? Isaiah says this on behalf of the Lord. Or to whom shall I be equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes and see the whole celestial, the whole universe, who has created this, all the stars and so on. That's your God. The Holy God, and then it continues, verse 29, who gives power to the weak, to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even you shall faint and be weary, and young shall fall, utterly fall, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and do not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That's our God, holy God, who cares for us as a loving Father. And that brings the distance, that takes the distance between holy, the holiness of God and being our Father away. God has bridged that gap in Jesus Christ. Through Christ, God is our Father. So whenever you struggle with these things, brothers and sisters, and sometimes we do that. Sometimes I have asked during my active ministry, I said to some of our catechism students, do you think, when you die tonight, do you think you will go to heaven? Hardly ever that any of my students would say, of course I go to heaven. And maybe there are here this afternoon as well, if I would put that question that you think for a moment and say, yeah, but what about my sins? How will that go with my sins and with my unholiness? But God has covered that in the holiness of Christ. That's why we ask Him for forgiveness. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ Himself prays in His high priestly prayer. Holy Father, keep them in my name which Thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. That's what Christ prayed also for you and me. Not only for His disciples, but also for those who later on, through the preaching of the apostles who believe in Him. And so we see the profoundness of God's holiness, but at the same time, it's the name of this holy God which we bear as a mark and emblem on our forehead, because you were baptized in the name of this holy God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But that has then also consequences, and that brings us to the second part of the sermon, that we also have to live as holy children of God, as also the Heidelberg Catechism makes clear in Lord's Day 47. And that brings us closer to the petition itself. For what do we mean when we say, Father, hallowed be thy name? After all, God is holy. We can't add any holiness to the name of God. So what do we mean when we say, Father, hallowed be thy name? Again, let me try to make that clear with an example. Then I think of the sun. The sun, you see it throughout the day, radiates light. The sun always radiates the same light, although the temperature differences sometimes. That's not depending on the sun. The sun always radiates the same light. The sun is the sun, full of warmth and whatever. But the cloud can move itself between the sun and us. Thick fog can take the sun totally away from us and lessen its warmth. Now likewise, brothers and sisters, somehow it is likewise with the holiness of God. God is holy, like the sun is warm and full of all the other things You can't take anything away of it. You can't add anything to it. That's how God created the sun. Now, God is holy. But we, sinful men, can tarnish and violate the splendor of the holy name of God. Godless powers set in motion by hell itself can take the glory of God's name away in this world. And we see that all around us. Well, that's why we pray the first petition. For what do we pray the first petition? For counterforces from heaven to fight all that darkens the glory of God's name. Father, hallowed be thy name. Father, vindicate thy holiness by destroying the powers of hell, in order that thy name may receive all honor in the world, but also, Lord, in my personal life, that there are equally also things that may tarnish thy name. Lord, teach us as thy children to stand up for thy name in a society where thy name is more and more blasphemed, mocked at, almost everywhere. See, that's what we pray. Father, hallowed be thy name. To hallow, that means literally to acknowledge, to esteem as holy, to keep holy. See, that word holy, often we straight away of say of how we have learned it. Holy means being set apart. As Peter writes in his first letter, that we are a holy nation, set apart as church members by baptism, answer 74 of the Heidelberg Catechism, as church members by baptism, as a sign of the covenant, we have been grafted into Christ in the Christian church, and then it says, distinguished from the unbelieving world, set apart, holy children of God, set apart. But when we talk about the holiness of God, beloved, then we mean something totally different. For God is not set apart, so to speak, for a certain area of our life. So for church activities. No, God rules all of life. And that's why we have to speak about the holiness of God, not only in the church, but also in the world. Hallowing God's name means that we honor that name, confess that name, and are not ashamed to speak of that name when that name is blasphemed. Then we can't stand it that the name of our great Father in heaven is dragged through the mud. Now to do that, to confess the name of God in that way, the Catechism says, first you have to rightly know God. That's how we know God. We know to whom we call upon in prayer. Well, let me use an example about what it means to know God. I used an example at the Kelmscott Congress for prayer. That you draw near to God. Do you know God? Of course I know God. I know my Bible. I know who God is. But then I read somewhere the following example. And I said it this morning, I think, in a sermon, in a totally different sermon as well, but like this. Say you would live in Paris, close to the Louvre. Now, we all know that the Louvre has one beautiful picture, the Mona Lisa. No doubt many of you have seen a picture or a photograph of the Mona Lisa. So here I am in Paris, but I'm a bit lost. So I ask someone who is well known in Paris, who knows Paris well, said, so where is the Louvre? Oh, there and there is the Louvre. And by the way, do you know, there is a beautiful picture there, the Mona Lisa. And he can tell me about the Mona Lisa and whatever and whatever. But the man himself has never been in the Louvre. He knows all about it. But he never stands in front of that picture and seen the beauty of that picture. Now that's how we can go about the Bible. Then we know a lot about the Bible, but do we have really knowledge of God? We don't want to talk about experiential knowledge, but somehow, how do I get to know one? By spending time with that person. That's why your Bible reading is so important. Not just quickly and then you have done your duty, but meditate on it. Half an hour a day. Wherever you do it, early in the morning, late at night. This thing's so important. For then you get to know God. Then you sit back. Christ says, the inner room for prayer, meditation. In this hectic time, where we can hardly leave our mobile phone alone, we can be hardly without mobile phone 5 minutes, that's a long time already, because I have to look at Facebook. But have you time for God? Do you know who God is? Because the more you know God, the more you will see of Him in the line of Scripture. And you stand and, oh, this is my Father. This is Holy God. And then you feel close to God. That's how a boy and a girl get to know each other, spending time together, and then they get to know each other, and then they start loving each other. See, that's your Bible reading. That's your prayer. That somehow you could call that indeed experiential knowledge of God, that you not only know it, but you also feel it in my heart. And not my fickle feeling, but the surety of God's promises. This is my Father. Of course He will care for me. Of course He can do it. He's the Almighty God who split the waters. Who in the beginning of the Bible said, let there be light, and there was light. If this God said that, and there was light, what about my minuscule problems? Would He not be able to solve them? That's my faithful God and Father. Hallowed be thy name. So, that's how we have to get to know the name of God. And the more you then know the name of God, the more you will also speak about the name of God. The boy that is in love with the girl, he will always talk about it. Now that's only, you should be careful in using all these examples, but if you know God, then from the fullness of the heart, we speak, confess. And I'm afraid that when we do that, then people say, oh, you become a bit evangelical, you use the name of the Lord as an over-pious person. Well, how do we do that? I'll give you two examples. Say, for example, someone has applied for a job, and he applies, and applies, and every time he says no. And he talks to you about it, and he said, I feel really sorry for you. I can feel for you. And he shows some sympathy. In that whole confirmation, the name of God is not mentioned. You can say, well, let's pray about it. Have you prayed about it? That's not overly pious. That's giving guidance. Or be at work. Say you work. Tomorrow you come at work and stand in the office or at the work site next to a person who says to you, I have heard terrible news last week. My wife went to the doctor and she heard that she has cancer. So it hits you and you say, oh, that's something. What's going to happen? What's the predictions? What does the doctor say? Is he still a long life to live for 6 weeks? And what kind of treatment? And again, you have a talk, and in the whole talk, God's name is not mentioned. Now realize he's an unbeliever. Would you not mention the name of Christ? So that the wife of that man that next to you may come to know Christ. And still in the late states of a life might be saved, and maybe your fellow worker as well. Do we use the opportunities? Do we know who God is? And does it radiate from our lives? This is my Father who is not only for me, but for everyone who wants to believe in Him. Do we speak readily about Him? That's what we read here. Grant that He may so direct our life that it is always our thoughts, words, and actions that thy name is honored. And that He glorify thee in all thy works. That's a Christian. A child of Holy Father. So, therefore, when we say, Father, hallowed be thy name, that includes then also, Father, teach me to live so close to thee, that I don't feel ashamed when I'm joyful to speak about thee, but also when I'm sad. Help me to sanctify, glorify, and praise thee in all the circumstances of life. That's difficult. To do that, praise God in all circumstances of life. For His name should be glorified. That's hard. This morning I had a sermon in Mundijong, and it teaches that God, and I spoke about that God makes everything beautiful in the sun. How can you praise God? How can you praise God when your wife suffers from cancer? How can you praise God? Damien Eichelbaum, Arjen and Yvonne Ryder, to mention just a few names. That can only when you see God as the Father who works out his plan beyond my understanding. But then you lay it in Father's hand. And it doesn't mean that, I said it last, not so long ago in the service, well, that if my wife dies tonight, that I say, it's job, the Lord has given, the Lord has taken, praise be the Lord. I don't think I will be ready for that tonight. But the Lord will help me to come to terms with it. I have a Father in heaven who will guide me. Help me, Father, that in all the things of life, I may sanctify, glorify, and praise thy name. Help me to see, Lord, that thou art at work in whatever happens, in prosperity and in adversity. Help me to honor thee always, as it says about Job. And he struggled. But it says also there, in all these things, Job did not see. You can ask questions, you can struggle. See, struggling is not wrong. Look at Psalm 42, one of these most wonderful psalms, where at the moment, one moment says, hope in God, your face retrieving. And the next moment says, but God has forgotten me. That's us. We struggle. As long as we, in our crying, we don't rebel, but cry out to God, and he will hear us. So, that's how this answer speaks about that we have to honor God in all his works, and then it says, in it shine forth his almighty power, wisdom, goodness, righteousness, mercy, and truth. First of all, speaking about his almighty power and wisdom and goodness. And these are attributes of God which shine forth, especially in the work of creation. Put next to each other in the realm of nature. The powerful lion and the most tiniest insect. All God's work of his almighty hands. The wisdom by which God created his world and gave to every creature its being, its shape and form, and to every one its specific task and function to serve the Creator. And then God also sustained this world. No wonder that Isaiah says in chapter 4, with whom then will you liken God? Lift up your eyes into the universe. God created the stars, the planets, he called them all by name, by the greatness of his might. That's God. You go to sleep tonight. And tomorrow you hope and you breathe and your heart beats. But it's not automatically so. Do you thank God every morning? Lord, I'm alive again. Thou protected me throughout the night. After all, we are only one heartbeat away from eternity. Your heart can stop in a minute. God keeps it beating. It's marvelous. If you look at the body of a person, that's my God, my Father, who looks after me. God's almighty power, wisdom and goodness. Next that mentions God's righteousness, mercy and truth. Then we think of God's work of recreation, his redemption in Jesus Christ, by which God will come through new heavens and a new earth. That's how he governs this whole world, to make it instrumental to the coming of Christ. And that's how we have to look at Iraq, the Ebola crisis, and all the things I mentioned in prayer. That's God, who in this way wants to show his righteousness, but also his mercy. His righteousness, his judgments, they go over this world, reads Revelation. But in wrath, God remembers mercy, for he doesn't want the death of the sinner. All these judgments go over this world, that people may come to repentance. But what do we read, especially in Revelation 16, so often there's a repeated sentence in Revelation 16, and they did not repent. And then we see that around us, they did not repent. And God is knocking on the door. Are we willing to listen? So that's how God is busy. The riders go out, Revelation 6, famine, war, earthquake. And through it, God receives glory. How it all works together, that's beyond us, but one day it will be revealed to us. So, hallowed be thy name. That's first of all a prayer of adoration. But it's also a prayer of consecration. As it says already, I read part of it out. It's the adoration, that's the first part of answer 122. But the consecration grant us that we may so direct our whole life, our thoughts, words, and actions, that thy name is not less seen because of us, but always honored and praised. Brothers and sisters, we live in a glass-like house as children of God. Your neighbors, your mates at work, the people who you associate with, they watch you. These are people that go to church. These are people that wear the name Christian. And they will use any opportunity to throw dirt on the church. Get the Christian, look where he lives. And then we bring dishonor to the name of God. And then God's reputation will suffer. And others will scoff because of us. On the contrary, if we live as God calls us to live, then we may radiate that aroma. Maybe people ask questions and they come to the church. In 2 Corinthians 3, the Apostle Paul writes that we are letters of Christ written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Letters which other people should be able to read. There is nothing to hide. Read my letter of life. This is a letter that brings glory to God. Every line in that letter. That's how we ought to live. All our thoughts, words and actions must be directed to the praise of God. A life letter by which people should be captured and see the happiness in serving the Lord. Now let me admit, that's not me, your minister, that stands here in front of you. And I think we all will say, Lord, I can't do that. I can't do that. Lord, there is so much lacking in my life. If only. And we make mistakes again. But then again, God is there by His Spirit to write that letter in your life. It was not written with ink, but with the Holy Spirit. And so when we lay our weak lives in God's almighty hand and say to the Lord, that's how I want to live. Make me ready to do that. If you bring it in that way before the Lord tonight. And sincerely from the heart pray, Father, hallowed be thy name. Father, let it be in my life that thy name is hallowed in every thought, word and deed. Help me, Father, for I can't do it. I'm assured. Tomorrow you go in a different way into the world. For Father is near. He will help you. Father, hallowed be thy name. Amen. Let's sing together. It's a prayer. And so we'll stand again. It's a prayer, Psalm 51, the verses 3 and 4.
Thank you.
have to consist of the following announcements. Consist will meet, the Lord willing, with the deacons tomorrow night at 7:30 p.m. Consistor has nominated the following brothers to the office of elder: Brother Q. Klein and Brother B. Kramer, Brother H. Lembers, Brother R. Maring, Brother J. Torenvliet and Brother B. Wielstra. And the following brothers for the office of deacon: Brother F. Ballast, Brother S. Rijtsma. The election will take place, the Lord willing, next Sunday, the 2nd of November, after the morning service. I lead you in thanksgiving and prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee that we may know thee. Know thee as our Father in Christ, but also as the Holy God, who hates all unholiness. Lord, and then we look at ourselves, and we have to confess that so often we tarnish our life with sins, with shortcomings, with failures. But Lord, we hear the gospel, that all our unholiness, when we turn to thee in true repentance, is covered in the holiness of Christ. And therefore we don't have to be afraid of thy holiness. We still may call upon thee as Father in and through Christ. And now we pray thee, Father, for help, for guidance through thy Holy Spirit, that we may indeed live as holy children of thine. That indeed we may direct our whole life, all our thoughts, words and actions, that thy name is never blasphemed because of us, but always honored and praised. Be with us this week, Father, in all our activities, in health, in sickness. This afternoon, Father, we pray thee also for the father of Des and Suellen Venderlaan, Brother Sivert Venderlaan from Armadale. Lord, he's still seriously ill. Lord, wilt thou grant that ways and means can be found so that he can be healed. We commit him and his wife and children to thy almighty care. Wilt thou provide for the Venderlaan family, in particular for Brother Sivert Venderlaan. We pray thee also for our brother Rijtsma, who had another operation last week, Father. We thank thee that he's out of ICU, but he's still a long road to go, being very weak. We need to him, his wife, surround them, give them the strength they need, and if it is thy will, Father, grant that he too may recover from his illness. But we thank thee that in all these things, we may rely on thee as our Father, and thou art always in control. And that's why we never have to despair, but may bring it all before thee. Also the problems in this world, and all the other problems, Father. And help us that amidst the difficulties of life, we don't forget to thank thee, but that we may indeed also express our thankfulness every day again for the many blessings we receive. Every morning, when we may wake up in good health, and thy mercies are new. That we may live in freedom in a world where there is so much turmoil. That we may live in such a beautiful part of the world. We may see so many beautiful things also in creation. Lord, thou art great. Help us then to honor thee also in all these things. Be so with us. Take us under thy wings. Guide us. Protect us. Watch over us in thy mercy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You'll sing in conclusion hymn 2, verse 1, 2, and 5. Hymn 2, verse 1, 2, and 5.
Oh,
receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.